Welcome inside the Fantasy Sports Network studios. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here. A little bit later, we're going to talk to Dr. Roto. We're continuing our coverage of the FSTA Fantasy Baseball Draft that took place in Nashville just a little while ago. His team trends very young. You like it, though. I feel like there's a couple of long shots, but the ceiling
Yeah,
very high.
He's got a couple of my faves I think you and I have talked about for about a year now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to talking to Dr. Roto about why he chose some of these studs.
Like 10-foot ceiling. Floor to ceiling window is like beautiful.
You're right. Yeah.
The weather's not nice. It's not going to be a nice view.
Sometimes you got to take shots.
You do have to take shots. We're going to talk to Matt Foley from Aussie.com, and he took a shot when he decided to go against his family and become a Chicago Cubs fan instead of a Chicago White Sox fan. But now he gets the last laugh. We're going to talk to him about the prospectus of his team going into the 2017 season. But first, we're going to change gears a little bit and get to some real news. Not so much fantasy news, but every single person on NBA Twitter was talking about it last night. Charles Oakley, former New York Knicks great, was ejected from the game, subsequently arrested, put in jail for a little bit before given a bench ticket and sent home. We have a little clip of the incident from a fan in the stands. There isn't a lot of details about the situation. All we know is that he got very upset, visibly upset. The game had to be stopped. He pushed a security guard. Looks like he kind of put his hands on the collar of another security guard on his way to being ejected. We've heard different reports. One guy that was sitting behind him said he was obviously drunk.
Yeah.
Another guy said he was fine. He just came in, was watching the game, and all of a sudden got into this angry fit. People are saying that he was going at James Dolan. They have a history of not really getting along, not liking each other. But we don't know at this point. We really don't know.
Yeah, no, we don't know. I'm sure other, as you see, like he's really starting to lose it here. Pushing and shoving. And obviously there's some pretty bad images on the Post, New York Post, New York Daily. Frank Isola, who's been in the news a lot lately, you know, talking about LeBron James in that report and LeBron calling him trash and then, going and going to the jail and like waiting for Oakley. We really don't know. I mean, everything that I've read from Frank's article, and I mean, you should check him out online on Twitter, and if you're really interested in this, he said, you know, he had said that Oakley got his tickets himself and was sitting behind Dolan, and you had mentioned Dolan and him have, you know, kind of had a little bit of some beef over the past couple of years, and he's been saying the Knicks are trash, the Knicks are not good. You know, he's a former Knick. He says, I'm a Knick, great legend. I want to come watch the team, watch them play. I got my tickets,
by myself.
Yeah. I didn't get them from Dolan or anybody else. I didn't come here to chirp. But if he did say something, I mean, it's probably warranted. He could say something to Dolan like, hey, the Knicks not very good. Like, pick it up. Let's go. But I'm not going to say what he did was appropriate because it certainly wasn't. And I'm not going to sit here and say that he was drunk or drinking. But but listening to him after some of the clips that I saw, like, it was... He looked maybe a little bit tired, and certainly probably was.
As inappropriate as his actions were, putting hands on someone that he does not know, in particular in a public setting, causing a little bit of a scene, this tweet sent out by the New York Knicks PR team was even more inappropriate,
quite frankly.
Charles Oakley came to the game tonight, behaved in a highly inappropriate and completely abusive manner. Fair. He has been ejected, is currently being arrested by the New York City Police Department. This is where it gets dicey. Yeah. He was a great Nick, and we hope he gets some help soon.
Yeah, that's not fair.
First and foremost, if you really care about him getting help, why don't you, as the team that he's an alumni of, actually help him, reach out to him? Maybe you have.
Yeah.
I don't know. But putting something like that out there, putting Charles Oakley on blast, especially if you're alluding to the fact that he may have an issue that he needs to deal with, completely offside. I don't know if James Dolan grabbed the phone from his PR guy and was like, don't worry, I got a fire tweet, and like put it out there, whatever the case may be. But that, I think a lot of people were saying, was the most despicable thing about the whole situation.
Yeah, to say that, and that's what Frank said in his article, to say that, you know, the Knicks said that that he needed help was totally uncalled for. To say he's not welcome back in the Garden is kind of totally uncalled for. This is a 10-year vet, and most of his time in New York, he was just a double-double machine. You know what? This is just continues on. It's almost every day. We talked about yesterday with Carmelo Anthony and Phil Jackson. I mean, this Knicks organization is becoming a little bit of a joke, and you have to wonder if free agents even want to waste their time going to there.
Already.
I mean, yesterday we sat here and said, Phil Jackson, you're getting old. Like, just be quiet, man. Like, you got all these rings. Like, I'm not going to say you're not a bad coach, but you coach some fantastic players. You had wicked players in your team. You went to New York to try to, you know, to say, hey, this big honcho is going to go to New York and implement the triangle and be the man, and they're going to win championships. You're not even close. So this Knicks organization, again, is becoming a bit of a joke, and it's every day now. And I feel like something else is going to happen before the week's end.
Who makes the postseason first, the Knicks or the Nets? Legitimately.
Yeah, you know, I want to give the Knicks...
But you can't say.
But I can't say
you
with
don't
confidence.
Know. We'll see what happens. We're actually going to be waiting intently to find out news from the Milwaukee Bucks, because last night Jabari Parker went down with a very scary injury. Driving to the basket, his left knee buckled. He went down in a heap. It was absolutely a non-contact injury, and it was on the knee that he hurt in his rookie season, which he tore an ACL. So obviously all minds go to that. That would be worst case scenario. Right now they're saying he has a sprained knee. Parker is a huge asset for this team. You see his stats there. He's one of the only people that gives Giannis Antetokounmpo a little bit of a chance. Antetokounmpo, however you want to say his last name. We have a constant beef about that on the show.
Let's call him a Greek freak.
Otherwise, even worse timing, they just got Chris Middleton back, and they're like, let's see what we got. We got Malcolm Brogdon in the mix. Let's see how everyone kind of gels together. Yeah. And they lose Parker for who knows how long. We're going to wait on the news. He's going for an MRI today.
Very, very sad for Bucks fans. For Parker, I mean, we're really starting to come into his own. But Ashley, you know, from a fantasy standpoint, we talked about it on Monday. Got to trade this guy. I was able to flip him.
Did you?
Parker in a pick for Butler. I'm sitting here. I'm laughing right now. That's what you got to do. And it was only because Middleton's coming back. Middleton only played 15 minutes yesterday. He was only expected to play 15 minutes. It's another guy in that offense that's going to cut in. Unfortunate for the Bucks. Unfortunate for Parker. But maybe Brogdon is not a drop anymore, because he was like somebody that it was a borderline drop. He's still putting up okay numbers, but not as nice as about a month ago. But yeah, another body in that organization. But as you mentioned, the same knee that he tore his ACL, he had surgery on, that's concerning, because we're really just starting to see Parker, and he is fantastic to watch. He's a great asset. The Bucks have a lot of young pieces, and they're fun to watch. But keep an eye on this. It did not look good. That knee buckled. It looked gross.
He legitimately is the only person that puts up shots beside the Greek freak. I was looking at the box score yesterday, and granted, they got absolutely hammered by Miami. Shout out to Miami, winning their 12th in a row.
And still
have a losing record. Congratulations. That's a feat and a half. That's very difficult to accomplish.
Crazy.
But Giannis had 11 shots or 12 field goals or something. Parker had 10. No one else had more than like 8. No one else is shooting the ball. So it's going to be interesting. The Bucks are probably in for a bit of a tough time going forward.
Yeah.
And the Atlanta Falcons, after losing the Super Bowl, decided to clean house on the defensive end. I will be the first one to say the optics of this look very bad. They look poor. We saw them absolutely crumble. The Patriots came storming back, scoring 31 unanswered points in the Super Bowl victory. However, I will say pump the brakes a little bit, because although they fired their defensive coordinator, Richard Smith, it looks like he might be moved to a different part of the team. And then they also fired Brian Cox, who's the defensive line coordinator. But he came over from the Mike Smith regime.
Yeah.
So he's been there for 2 years. They gave him a shot. Maybe they just don't like the way that he operates, but he had 2 years to kind of prove himself. Plus, Dan Quinn was calling the defense the second half of the season anyway. So like Kyle Shanahan, not expected to get an offensive coordinator in San Francisco. Dan Quinn probably just wants the responsibility himself. So I don't think it's necessarily like a knee-jerk reaction to the loss.
Yeah.
It just looks real bad.
It does. And you wonder if this would happen if they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Maybe a couple weeks later on it would have happened, not right away. Like, give some time for these guys to celebrate. But yeah, you make a great point. Dan Quinn is the man there. The head coach, he wants to call the defensive plays. He's a defensive genius, you know, for years now with the Trojans, with the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. So let him do what he wants to do. And for Shanahan, I'll tell you what, that guy's going to have his hands full in San Fran dealing with that squad.
I know.
He doesn't even want to have an offensive court. Don't worry, I'll call all the plays.
Don't worry. Me and Tori Smith, we got this, yikes, said no one ever. Okay, talk to me about Evgeny Malkin. He's on the road trip with his team.
Yeah, so he's dealing with a knee injury. Right now he's on the IR, but good news, he was able to take some soft contact yesterday in practice. He's joining the Penguins on a current two-game road trip tonight in Colorado, tomorrow, or Saturday in Arizona. Not necessarily matchups that they need Malkin for, but that's good news that he is close to returning, and you can just keep an eye on the situation because you're definitely going to want to activate him on IR. Some leagues, you know, you have to activate the night before, so if you're going to activate him today, you're not going to get it. I don't think he's going to play tonight, but just keep an eye on the situation. You're going to get him back soon. And Chris Kunitz playing with Crosby. Take a flyer on him.
Soft contact.
That's all really Malkin can, you know.
I was just going to say, does he take hard contact?
That's all he can take is soft contact. He's been hurt a lot over the course of his career. But he was having a fantastic year, though.
He's a great player.
He is.
The 101st best player of all time
in the NHL. We'll see next year. Maybe he'll get it. Nice little jacket.
Okay, we are going to talk about some young guns in Major League Baseball coming up because Dr. Roto drafted all of them on his FSTA fantasy baseball team. What's up, everyone? This is Fantasy Sports Today, and baseball season just around the corner. People are already doing mock drafts. People are actually doing real drafts, locking down players. People are drafting Mike Napoli before he even had a home, because that's how serious we are about fantasy sports, although he is with the Texas Rangers now. But this man coming up, Dr. Roto, does not have him on his team. Probably thought he was too old, because, sir, your team is quite, quite young. How are you doing, Dr. Roto?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on. And you know what? I like guys whose arrows are pointing up, not arrows who are pointing into the grave, Ashley.
That's fair enough, Doctor. We just saw your board there from scout.com. And let's bring up a board of just your first few picks in this draft that we completed about 3 weeks ago now. Your first pick, Bryce Harper, you picked from the 12th spot. You got Miguel Cabrera. And then, man, you got a lot of targets that I want. Trevor Story, Odor, Polanco, Trumbo, a couple young studs here in Bregman, Benintendi, Sanchez, who we saw a terrific season last year. And then Osuna is your first closer. Let's just start with your first pick, Bryce Harper. Did you think at the 12th pick you were going to be able to get this guy?
You know, I really didn't know. I knew that a lot of people doubted him after last year, because remember, last year's draft, he was going number 3. Then all of a sudden he doesn't perform, and fantasy baseball owners are very, you know, negative people sometimes. He didn't perform. This guy's not very good. It's all downhill now. I never look at that. I look at a guy who's 24 years old, who's playing for a huge contract, who even in a down year had 24 home runs and 21 stolen bases. So if that's what he does in a down year, what is he going to do in a good year? I'll take my chances at 12. It's an absolute steal.
You mentioned the contract. Ashley and I talked before about, you know, 300 plus, 400 plus million. Yeah. Do you think he gets that money, like 300 million? And do you think he stays with Washington after this season?
Well, I don't know whether he stays with Washington, but he absolutely gets that money. Wow. I mean, give me a guy with a better skill set. Give me a guy who's 5 tools like this. Give me a guy who's this age, who's going to be a free agent. You know, when Mike Napoli is getting $8.5 million, what would you pay Bryce Harper? How about $80.5 million?
Yeah, fair point.
And there's a lot of money to go around in baseball. I was joking with one of my friends who has some children, like, I don't know what sport to get them in. I'm like, baseball. There is no salary cap. There's very little contact, very little risk of injury. What are you thinking? There's not even a question.
Yeah.
What other sport are you going to put them in? Baseball or soccer?
And some of the money that's getting thrown around.
I put a golf up in Dr. Roto Jr.'s hand. He's good to go.
Nice.
Dr. Jr., I love it. Speaking of juniors, sir, as we've been alluding to the entire show, you have a lot of young guys, and we're going to start with Trevor Story. You grabbed him in the 3rd round, shortstop 6, I believe that says it on my glasses on. Yeah, 6, thought it was an 8. But he was phenomenal. He only played 97 games this season, and he had almost 30 home runs. He's coming off an injury. He hurt his thumb. But do you expect him to realistically hit these numbers again, or is this on the high end of the spectrum, but you still expect him to be productive?
Well, I look at it this way. If he didn't get hurt last year, he only had 372 at-bats, right?
Yes.
So if he doesn't get hurt, let's add another 200 at-bats. I've got to think he's going to hit at least another 10 home runs there. So he was projecting to go about 37 home runs and 100 RBIs. So right now, I mean, this guy's 372. That's a very low number of at-bats. He plays half of his games in Colorado. He just said he's fully recovered from thumb surgery. Mm. And plus, I think people forget this guy's got some steals too. Maybe he's not going to get me 20, but what what if he can hit me 35 home runs and steal me 12 bases? I just got that in the third round from a shortstop. Once again, I think people see an injury and a red flag goes up.
Yep.
And I think two things when I see an injury. One, stay away, or two, buying opportunity. And this one was a buying opportunity.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Even last year when he was hitting home runs, Dr. Roto, he was just, nobody would give him the credit. Everyone's like, no,
Colorado.
It's his cores. He'll slow down eventually. And really, he didn't look like he was slowing down. These next two guys, top prospects, Benintendi and Bregman, both drafted in 2015, both drafted early, both in 2016, went through minor systems like it was nothing, and then reached their big clubs. Talk to me about both of these guys. They both seem like, much like Story, guys who can help you out across the board, even in the stolen base category.
Yeah, I want to talk about Bregman for a second because I think something happened last year to him that doesn't normally happen. He struggled at the major league level, right? And when young guys struggle at the major league level, baseball teams get antsy and they send these guys back to AAA. And then all of a sudden they're on the AAA shuttle, right? They go back, they go forth, they go back, they go forth. Look at Jose Berrios, right, from the Minnesota Twins. That guy's a train wreck right now. But the Astros let Bregman get it right up with the team in the majors. So all of a sudden, at the end of the year, he finally found his confidence and started to hit. By allowing him to fail, I think it's going to allow him to succeed this year. And I think this kid is big. I mean, he's playing for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic. Yeah. I only pray that he doesn't get hurt. That's the last thing that I want to say.
Yeah, it's interesting that you bring up the mental component, because I think that it's something that's often overlooked, especially when we're talking to fantasy folks who are always looking at numbers and advanced statistics and trying to predict what's going to happen next. And I don't think Houston's the only one that saw value. He was involved in the Chris Sale trade talks before he ended up going to Boston.
And, you know, Dr. Roto, he struggled, as you mentioned, early in the season when he was brought up. He struggled. I watched him live at the Rogers Center when it kind of all came together for him. Do you expect him to hit in that two spot? I mean, at that time, he was hitting right behind Springer. You got Altuve. You got great hitters behind him. What's the real, like, I mean, I guess we'll say floor. What's the floor for him?
I think this guy, what if I tell you he hits 275 with 20 to 25 home runs, 70 to 80 RBIs, 90 runs scored, and 5 to 10 stolen bases?
I say, get off my phone.
That?
I say, get off my phone, Dr. Roto.
Sign me up. I want that.
Exactly. And, you know, getting to the mental component, you know, first of all, I would tell you, hey, that's why I'm a doctor. But I would also say the following. I think people forget about certain things. A guy's going through a divorce, right? There's a death in the family.
Yeah.
I don't know. His wife is sick. There are a lot of things. Look, when you, especially baseball, it's such a mental game. When you go up to the plate and you have a lot of things in your mind, except hitting a baseball, it makes it very hard to play the game.
It makes a huge difference. And I know it's easy to kind of be inspired and have those like games where you just really pull it out from your gut and gut it out, like when something happens immediately after. But when everyone else forgets about it and their life moves on, the players, you're right, are still stuck dealing with the real life stuff. Speaking of real life stuff, on a less serious note though, Andrew Benintendi, he gained 15 to 20 pounds this offseason. Attaboy, topping out at 185. What? He said he tried to put on the weight so he could grind through the very long season. Talk to me about your expectations of this youngster.
Yeah, isn't it great to be 22 and to be 185? You're like, oh my God. Then you get older and you realize, you know, the metabolism changes. I think this kid is a young, good, solid hitter. And here's what you're going to find. I think he's going to slide into the number two spot and he's going to hit really well in the spring. And then people are going to get super excited about this guy. And I got him, what, in round 10?
Yeah.
I think on draft day, in March, he's probably going around 7. So I think there's certain guys each year that see their draft stock rise. Benintendi plays on the Red Sox. Everybody knows the Red Sox. He's going to bat 2nd. Are you kidding me? So I don't know whether he's going to be a huge producer. But if I told you 285 with 15 home runs and 75 RBIs, you wouldn't be too bad. Not too bad for the fourth outfielder.
Yeah, he's another guy who can steal bases as well, so he can help you out across the board. And I agree. About a month from now, he'll be going
potentially
a lot earlier.
Potentially a sell high candidate.
Yeah.
If he gets off to a hot start, sell high. All right, we got to get out of here, Doctor. Thank you so much for your time. Good luck this fantasy season. I hope you come in 2nd to Chris Meany right beside me. Other than that, I hope you beat everyone else.
She doesn't mean that.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much. Take care now.
Hey,
bye.
Take care.
I do mean it.
I respect that.
Well, of course, I got to have you back. Plus, I hope that I get some of the winnings for just like supporting you this whole time.
For sure.
All right, we got to get out of here. But we'll be back. We're talking more baseball this time, focusing on the Cubs, the defending World Series champions. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. We have a new guest on the show, which I'm very excited about. Matt Foley from Aussie.com is here to talk to us about the Chicago Cubs, defending World Series champions. Hi, Matt. How's it going?
It's great. Thanks for having me, guys. It feels good to hear that, World Series champion.
I was just going to say, there is nothing harder than winning the World Series and becoming the top team. The only thing harder is staying on top. So we're going to talk about the club heading into the 2017 season and see how you feel about them. We're going to start with Kyle Schwarber.
I want to start with Kyle Schwarber. Matt, he's so interesting to me. You know, obviously we know the storyline with him. Even before, you know, even in the youngster games, he was just MVPs. MVP, and then he gets hurt, you know, he comes back, World Series, and he was awesome. But I just want to know what your take is, because I want to draft him, but do you see a situation where, you know, the Cubs are up late in a lot of games, and maybe because his defense is not spectacular that, you know, he just comes out in the 7th, 8th, 9th inning, or should I just not worry about that and just draft this stud?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a concern for fantasy owners. He probably is going to get sat down every now and then for defense or due to injury concerns, but he's such a beast that you just have to pick him. I think this guy is like as close as it's going to get to the second coming of the Bambino. He is a pure slugger. He's going to put up numbers, and you just have to hope he plays enough to pay off, which I think he will.
I'm curious about Addison Russell, because he's someone that was really exciting. 6 RBIs in Game 6 of the World Series. He had a ton of home runs, 21 as well, 95 RBI. But that kind of power, do you think it's something that's sustainable for Mr. Addison Russell?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's kind of representative of the new trend in baseball that we're seeing with all these middle infielders hitting for more power. You saw 26, I think, middle infielders hit over 20 home runs last season, which was double the previous record. And I think he might come down a little bit in home runs because he's got to be focused on hitting for better average. But I mean, he'll be around that 15 to 22 mark, you'd have to assume. And if he has more average, that's going to equal more runs scored as well. So I think he's going to keep progressing.
Another young stud that's probably going to keep progressing in the infield is Javier Baez. And I mean, his glove is terrific. We see the power sometimes. We see him struggle chasing pitches in the dirt as well. But there's some reports that he could be in a platoon. Do you think that's a situation that's going to occur with him this season?
I think so. It sounds like starting out, he'll be platooning with whether it's Zobrist, Addison Russell. I think as the season goes on, especially down the stretch last year, you saw Joe Maddon start to trust Baez a little bit more with his decision-making and his defense. I think he'll be the everyday second baseman. You'll probably see Zobrist playing in the outfield more often than not, especially if Jason Hayward is still doo-doo. So I think Baez is a guy who's going to get his numbers. He's going to hit for more power this year. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of how many games he plays, probably around 140, 135, you'd have to guess.
And with that, you can still hit 20 to 30 home runs,
yeah,
for sure.
I was going to say, the good news is, even if this year some of the assets that the Cubs have are a little bit disappointing, they're so young that it seems like it's going to be a nice little run for the Chicago Cubs. Someone that's added to the squad this year, John Jay, a one-year, $8 million contract. He hit .291 last year in 90 games. He did break his wrist, though, which is why he missed some time. What are your expectations of him? Do you think maybe that he's going to be better just because the Padres maybe weren't as great of a location for him to be?
That's fair.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair assumption, but I think, unfortunately for him, he might be a guy who's stuck in that utility role coming off the bench as a pinch hitter. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are saying he'll be starting the year in center field and in the 8-hole, but he just seems like one of those guys who might get outplayed by the younger Cubs, especially with Alberto Almora waiting as well. I think he reminds me of one of those guys you look at and you think he's got the potential to be a breakout star, and then you realize he's 31 years old. He always looks like he's 24 to me. I think he's a utility guy as the year goes on.
He's got that life filter on, just everything looks glowing, and then you actually look at the numbers like, interesting. All right, we got to get out of here, Matt. Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. Everyone can check out all of your stuff on Aussie.com. You were just in Houston for Super Bowl week. A nice feature on Tevin Coleman. Everyone can find that there, and we will talk to you later, sir.
Take care,
Matt. Thanks so much, guys. Appreciate it.
See you later. We'll see you next time on FST. Bye.